My dear friends, today is the fourth Sunday after Easter. The epistle is taken from St. James's Epistle, chapter 1. Dearly beloved, every best gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no change nor shadow of alteration. For of his own will he hath begotten us by the word of truth, that we might be some beginning of his creatures. You know, my dearest brethren, and let every man be quick to hear, but slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man worketh not the justice of God. Wherefore, casting away all uncleanliness and the abundance of malice, with meekness receive the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 16. At that time Jesus said to his disciples, I go to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have spoken these things to you, sorrow hath filled your heart. But I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go. For if I go not, the Paraclete will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he is come, he will convince the world of sin and of justice and of judgment. Of sin, because they believed not in me, and of justice, because I go to the Father. And you shall see me no longer. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is already judged. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but what things soever he shall hear, he shall speak. And the things that are to come he shall show you. He shall glorify me, because he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. I have yet many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will teach you all truth. These words are taken from the Gospel of today's Mass in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, tomorrow we will celebrate the feast of St. Catherine of Siena. And St. Catherine was a most remarkable saint for several reasons. The amount of lasting good that she did for the Church, the degree of holiness which she attained, and the influence which she possessed at a time when women seldom were deemed influential, are all made even more remarkable by her youthful age. For St. Catherine accomplished all of her great deeds in a short span of 33 years. She was born of pious parents at Siena in the year 1347 A.D., and she lived the most holy life until her death, which actually occurred on this day, April the 29th, in the year 1380. From a very early age, she was drawn to solitude and recollection, and this became the touchstone of her holiness. It's been written of her that the Holy Ghost taught her to make a solitude in her heart, where in the midst of all occupations, she would consider herself alone with God. Thus, whether she was drafting a letter to the King of France or the King of Hungary, whether she was counseling the Pope himself, or simply praying her divine office in her choir stall, she ever kept before her mind's eye the presence of God and lived under his inspiration. There are several instances in her short life which prove beyond a shadow of doubt that this good saint was truly inspired by God. In the first place, it happened more than once that a group of prelates or scholars would assemble to question her about some intricate matters of religion, and she would remarkably answer them with all of the ease of a learned theologian, despite the fact that she had entered the convent when she was only 15 years old, and she had never taken any formal theological training. In addition to being inspired by God during these meetings, St. Catherine is probably most well known for having put an end to what history calls the Babylonian captivity of the popes. This time period is called the Babylonian captivity because it's likened to the time when the ancient Jews were enslaved and carried off to Babylon. This happened about 500 years before the birth of Christ. But at the time of St. Catherine, the popes had begun a custom of living outside Rome. And under the influence of the King of France, they resided in the city of Avignon, France, for 74 years. This, of course, led to much strife and conflict in the church, with at times even many men claiming to be the Pope at once. But then it was at the tender age of 23 years that God inspired St. Catherine to go have an audience with the Pope, Pope Gregory XI at the time, to convince him that he must return to Rome. And the way she accomplished this could be a work only of God himself. For she simply told the Pope, "Fulfill what you have promised to God." The Pope was stunned at this remark made by a young religious of whom he had never met, because she was referring to a secret vow that he had made to God at the time of his election. You see, when he was elected Pope, he had vowed that he would return the papacy to Rome, but he soon realized that this was very unpopular with the College of Cardinals, many of whom were French at the time, so he put off fulfilling this sacred promise to God. Imagine what that must have been like then for the Pope, to be sitting there having an audience with a young religious of 23 years, and she comes before him and tells him of a vow that God alone was aware of. As remarkable as this act was, there is one more result of her constant recollection that I believe will help each and every one of us, that I know will help us more than even a profound knowledge of the intricacies of theology or the ability to know another's secret vows. And that was that thanks to her constant recourse to God the Holy Ghost, she was helped immensely in the time of temptations. You see, the devil was not long in realizing what power this woman had over him and over his reign here on earth. And so the old serpent tried every means he could to get her to fall. When his attempts at assailing her with the most vile temptations against modesty and chastity proved fruitless, he would then tempt her with great doubts against the Catholic faith. And these temptations were so strong at times that St. Catherine even complained of them to our Lord. "Where were you, my divine spouse?" she pleaded one day, "when I was abandoned and in such a frightful condition." "I was with you," responded our Lord, "and the victory over them was owing to my presence." In other words, because St. Catherine so often called upon our Lord, because she ever kept his will before her eyes, and because she prayed constantly during times of temptation, he did not leave her side, and he even gained for her a triumphant victory over the greatest assaults of Satan. How we then can learn from this example: the more united we are to God, the more we call upon him, especially God the Holy Ghost, for knowledge and strength, the more success we will have against Satan and all of his works and all of his pomps. The life of St. Catherine of Siena, my dear friends, gives us thus a very practical example of what our Lord was referring to in today's gospel. For throughout her relatively short life, there were so many times that this great saint had just the right answer or a heroic strength in time of temptation. And this was in no small way due to her constant recollection and her constant recourse to the Holy Ghost, whom our Lord said in today's gospel he would send to us, so that he could teach us all things. St. Cyril of Alexandria, who is best known for his work as a catechist, tells us that the Holy Ghost actually transforms those in whom he dwells. This great saint explains that the Holy Ghost readily turns them away from a taste for earthly things, so that they may dwell on those that are of heaven, and from an unmanly cowardice in the face of temptation to a courageous state of soul. We see this very clearly almost immediately after the coming of the Holy Ghost on Pentecost. We see this in the life of St. Peter, who on Holy Thursday night was filled with confidence in himself, but yet he could not even stand up to a servant girl when he was put to the test. Yet by Pentecost Sunday, after he had received the Holy Ghost, whom our Lord promised to send, he was now valiant enough to preach a sermon that converted 3,000 souls right then and there. Furthermore, we know that when he was scourged for preaching our Lord, it is said in the Acts of the Apostles that he and St. John went forth from the temple, rejoicing that they could be accounted worthy to suffer reproach for the name of Jesus. What a change the Holy Ghost wrought in St. Peter's soul. And what a great change the Holy Ghost wrought for St. Catherine in making her such a wonderful saint. She could not have become the great saint that she is, let alone have those extraordinary graces like counseling Pope Gregory the 11th, if she had not been so closely united to the Holy Ghost. And so, my dear friends, let us increase our devotion and our confidence in the third person of the Blessed Trinity, God the Holy Ghost. In our times of temptation, we ought to call upon him to help us be strong. And what a grace it is to think that the second person of the Blessed Trinity has sent the third person of the Blessed Trinity to be there, waiting to inspire, strengthen, and help us in our time of need. Let us ask him with supreme confidence to give us the answers we need and the strength we need to persevere in the practice of the one true faith. And as we approach the Feast of Pentecost, let us start today calling upon the Holy Ghost. Call upon him in your times of need and in your temptations, so that between now and Pentecost, you can see just how many times he comes to your aid in just that short span of time. Follow the example of St. Catherine of Siena, for she was truly devoted to the Holy Ghost, and she had a constant recourse to him. And look at the great things that he did in her life. And we too have it in our power to be devoted to him as well. Let us as best we can then, as St. Augustine prays, give thanks to God with all our hearts, beseeching them that in his goodness he will mercifully hear our prayers, and by his divine grace drive evil thoughts from us and actions from us, even as he increases our faith, guides our minds, and brings us to the joy without end. Through the merits of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.